Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
A report published by the International Energy Agency last month found that retail prices in Ireland are three times higher than wholesale prices. Now, a task force established by the Minister for Energy, Dara O'Brien, has called on the Commission for Energy Regulation to investigate whether energy suppliers are failing to pass on cuts in wholesale prices to consumers. With no energy credits this year and big winter bills looming, I'll be speaking as well to Head of Communications with Bonkers.ie, Dara Cassidy, about how to reduce those bills. But first, I want to talk to Dr. Muireann Lynch, Senior Research Officer at the ESRI, to get a better understanding of this gap between the wholesale and the retail prices. Muireann, good morning. Thank you very much for taking our call. Before we get all conspiratorial and look at the possibility of price gouging, is there a straightforward explanation of why generating electricity in Ireland is more expensive than it is on the continent?
No, there's not a straightforward explanation. There are some things that are going on that we kind of know about, some things that we maybe don't know about, some things we might be able to do something about, some things we can't do anything about. So just to put it in context, our electricity bills are amongst the highest in Europe pretty consistently, kind of amongst the top three, sometimes we're at the very top over the last few years. Having said that, when you adjust for the general cost of living, we fall down a bit. We're about eighth. So still pretty high, but not as high. So right off the bat, that's telling us that the fact that Ireland is just a very high cost of living economy in general, and the cost of everything in Ireland is higher than the cost of the same things in the rest of Europe, apart from maybe Luxembourg. That is at least partly explaining why our electricity is also more expensive. Now, you could say, well, is our cost of living high because our energy bills are high, or are our energy bills high because our cost of living is high? And, you know, that's kind of a question that it's probably a bit of both is the answer. But straight away, that's a very complicated thing to answer. But then when you drill into the specifics, it's like, well, which parts of our bills are higher than average? Which parts are lower than average? And the part that's very high in Irish bills compared to the rest of Europe is what we call the energy and supply component. So this is the component of actually generating the electricity and buying the companies buying the electricity off the wholesale market. That's very high compared to other European countries.
Okay, the other elements of a bill, Muireann, would be your public service obligation, your VAT, yeah, and whatever other administrative charges there might be there.
And the network charges as well. So this is to pay not for the electricity itself, but for all of the wires and for all of the infrastructure required to transmit the electricity around the country.
And are those elements in line with what is being paid in other European countries?
So the network element is a bit higher than the rest of Europe. So the energy cost is way higher. The network cost is a bit higher. The taxes and the charges are actually lower than European average. And in fact, for a while there in Ireland, the taxes and charges element was actually negative. And that's because of the electricity credits. So the part that's directly in control of the government is actually pretty low. However, the part that's indirectly in control is very high.
It is the kilowatt hours then, the actual electricity that is more expensive. Why?
So there's a number of reasons for that, probably. Some of them are things we can't do anything about, like the fact that we're an island, the fact that we're disconnected, largely disconnected from the rest of Europe. And then the fact that we have a very expensive and slow planning system relative to other European countries. All of that means that our electricity providers require essentially a higher price in order to deliver energy. And we just can't get the kind of really cheap onshore and offshore wind, for example, that you can get in the likes of Spain or Denmark, because it's just very expensive to build wind turbines here relative to those other countries. However, there's also the fact that we don't have super great competition in our market, and in particularly what we call the forward market. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this is where energy companies, not that they're kind of buying electricity every single hour and selling it on every single hour. This is where they might buy their energy off each other days or weeks or months or sometimes years in advance. Now, in Europe, A lot of energy companies are kind of connected to almost like a stock exchange. It's just a big power exchange and they trade with each other all the time. And you can have somebody in Bulgaria trading with somebody in Finland and all that kind of thing. In Ireland, we just don't have that. If you want to sell your electricity forward in Ireland, you actually have to come over and make a specific contract, kind of a bilateral contract with somebody else. That's very expensive. And it means that our power generators are just not exposed to the kind of competition that they're exposed to in the rest of Europe. So I suspect that that's also putting serious upward pressure on prices here.
Does that change when we get more interconnection with the continent? I know that the Celtic interconnector was supposed to have been built by next year, but I think we're now looking at 2028 before it's going to be completed. But would that improve matters?
Interconnection certainly helps. What it does is it allows us as a kind of a system to buy cheaper power from abroad. And it also means that we can kind of line up those trades better. And we can see in the data that since we changed our market structure, the interconnectors have done a better job of bringing prices down. However, what I'm talking about here is what we call the forward trading. So the interconnectors tend to really help on the kind of the day-to-day, hour-to-hour stuff. But in terms of kind of trading ahead of time, which is what's really important for the supply companies so that they know what price they're going to have to pay in a few months for their energy, there's very little of that kind of trading in Ireland. And that's not so much to do with interconnectors. It's more to do with how we make those trades.
Okay. Dara Cassidy, Head of Communications at bonkers.ie, the comparison website. What are your thoughts on this gap between the wholesale and the retail price?
There's been a gap for quite a while, but as Miriam was saying, when you kind of try to drill down into all the various reasons, you know, we have a weakly connected grid, as Miriam was saying. We still use gas to generate a lot of our electricity, whereas other countries that have cheaper electricity rely more on hydro or nuclear, for example. I think some of our generators for electricity are smaller and less efficient than they are in other countries. So when you kind of add up all of those reasons and couple it with the high cost of living that we have, it does lead to high energy prices. Now, I know it's probably cold comfort to a lot of people who are listening, but there are other countries at the moment, believe it or not, that have higher electricity prices than us. Germany, the Czech Republic, both have high prices. So do the UK. So, you know, we're not alone in this, but there aren't going to be any short-term fixes. There aren't going to be any, you know, major reductions, I don't think, to energy prices over the coming years. And I think we're kind of looking at a period, unfortunately, of relatively high prices for the foreseeable future as we try to transition towards a greener and cleaner economy.
Wherein solar power is incredibly cheap, excuse me, by comparison with the other forms of generation. And we're really beginning to see the deployment of solar farms all over the country now. I think there's going to be 68,000 acres of land under solar panels by 2040 is Solar Ireland's ambition. What's that going to do for prices?
So all else equal, what any kind of low cost or low marginal cost like renewables does is it brings prices down. And I honestly did not see the solar revolution coming. Everyone is really surprised at how much solar has taken off in Ireland. The question is, however, how much of a subsidy does it attract? Now, all of the solar that is being subsidized, and not all of it is being subsidized, but if it's being subsidized, then it's being subsidized under a mechanism where if prices are high in general, solar actually gives us a bit of money back. Whereas if prices are low, the consumer gives a bit of money to solar. So in general, what it should do is put downward pressure on prices. However, because Ireland is not a particularly sunny country, it means that solar operators do need a decent price for their actual electricity, because otherwise they're just not going to make their money back.
Indeed, which is going to be added onto your bill in the form of the PSO. So in order to actually deal with the bills in the here and now that we're looking at this winter, Dara, your advice is switch.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that with all bills, but I think this year, with this winter, given where energy prices are and given the fact that we've seen the removal of energy credits in the recent budgets, a lot of people will struggle with their bills, unfortunately. So I would absolutely say to people to switch. Sometimes people feel that if prices are going up or if prices are high, there's no point in switching because everybody's, you know, increasing their prices. Some suppliers didn't increase their electricity prices. For example, Uno Energy, Electric Ireland didn't. But also a lot of suppliers are still offering big discounts of 20 to 30% for an entire year to people who switch. And that could save someone maybe 400 to 450 euro on their electricity bills and around maybe 300 euro on their gas bills. So it's a big sum of money.
As a rule then, you're saying we should be switching pretty much on an annual basis.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because these discounts last for 1 year usually, and then after the year is up, people will reverse to the supplier's standard rate.
But do they not get wise after a while and say, ah, Philip, we've seen you before?
Not really, actually, because there's still around maybe 50% of the population to 60% of the population that actually doesn't switch. So as long as you go to a different supplier, I mean, there's nothing to stop you going from Electric Ireland to Bord Gáis Energy this year, and then next year go back to Electric Ireland or Uno Energy or wherever the case may be. As long as you keep switching every 12 months, every year, you will keep getting that discount. And it's really, really quick and easy to do. And it's something that I'd absolutely recommend that people do, because we can see from the CRU that arrears figures are quite high in Ireland because people are struggling.
And boring advice, but I assume that one of the best things you can still do is be clever about the time of day that you use your energy heavy appliances.
You can, but it is important. This will only work if you're on a smart meter and have a smart tariff that charges you a lower rate for electricity used outside of peak hours. Sometimes people think that if they put the wash on at 10 o'clock, they're automatically saving money. It does depend on the tariff that you are on. But if you are on one of those tariffs, absolutely looking at moving your usage to times outside of peak hours or to nighttime hours can absolutely save you money as well. And also just doing a bit of a refresher on the, you know, SEAI site, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. We have information as well on bonkers.ie about the tips and little things that you can do to use less electricity around the home.
There are plenty of things that you can do. Dara Cassidy and Wirin Lynch, thank you both very much.